You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
We're so glad you're here. Oh, thank you for joining us for our wonderful conversation today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so pleased to welcome our guest, one of our favorite people, to our show today. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
This is Jacob King. I am a business consultant out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Marvelous. We are so glad that you're here today, and you're always a blessing to us, and we're very thankful for you.
You know, you're one of my favorite people as well.
That is an honor, and I thank you for it. What is on your heart today?
Well, I recently did a little teaching for Sunday school, and it's called Sometimes God Wants to Show Off.
Wow. Okay, I can't wait to hear the revelation you have to share with us.
Well, it starts off in Matthew chapter 5.
Okay.
And if I get, you know, get your assistance, it will be good because I'm actually dealing with some things, you know, as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
We had a pest control come in last week and do some spraying.
Oh.
And my system is sensitive to, you know, different things like that, even different smells. And it kind of, you know, initiated me having, so I actually had to be admitted to the hospital yesterday.
Oh.
And, I'm in ICU, and but things are going well, and I should be able to go to a regular room today. So that's why I kind of sound like this.
Well, first of all, I have to praise God for taking care of you, for helping you through this ordeal, and for healing you. And I also have to praise God for the fortitude and the strength of your example. I mean, everybody whines and complains about the least little thing, and yet here you are showing up to share with our listeners and friends, even when you're going through things yourself, and I truly thank you for that.
Well, we just got to continue to remind the devil who's boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, even under pressure, we, you know, let our faith be shown.
Yes, that's right. Well, right now you're a city set on a hill. Your light's shining, and people can see your example, and they can really see that you're letting your light shine before people so that they can glorify God because of your example. Okay, that's beautiful, and I'm really grateful. I'm always grateful for you coming to be with us and to share with us, but today, wow, I'm humbled that you would do this, and I appreciate you.
Well, praise God.
Yes, praise God.
So, if you could turn over to Matthew chapter 5.
Yes, sir, got it.
And help me read. We're going to read this out of the message, because it's so the... a phrase that will we kind of want to kind of build on and deconstruct as well.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Verse 1.
Okay.
If you have the Message Bible.
Yes, I'm getting it right now. Okay, so I'm going to start with verse 1. And how far do you want me to read?
I'll let you know.
Okay. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 5, the Message. You're blessed. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed.
Stop right there.
Okay. I like it.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. That'll freak.
You read it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope.
Yeah, your rope.
That don't sound like a blessing.
No, it actually does not, but I'm sure that it will be.
with less of you, there is more of God and his rule.
Mm. Wow, this deserves my pink highlighter.
Yeah, I'm really in love with that version because it brings out that when you're at the end of your rope, you let go of all your stuff, your emotions, your options. Everything that you wanted to do, there's more room for God and his rule. You know, what God wants to do his way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, isn't that so true?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. When you get out the way, there's more room for God to do what he wants to do.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But what that opened up for me also was like, sometimes we look at situations and they're dead.
Right.
You know, basically, you're looking at it like, this is really stinky.
Yes.
You know, this doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
This is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to come through and do what you said you was going to do, Lord? And, you know, God always comes through. Da-da-da-da.
Right.
You know, he comes through and saves the day. Read one more verse, and then I want to give you a couple of illustrations of how this works.
Okay. Can I read verse 4?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you.
So that kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does. Blue highlighter. Yeah. And yet, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
What was you want to say about it?
Nobody thinks this is great. Like when you lose a loved one, right? Nobody's like, I'm blessed. This is great. No one feels like that's a blessing. And yet, as I read this, only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Like, you lost what is most dear to you? A job, a home, a family member, your health, whatever it may be that you think is most dear to you. And yet, there he is, the one most dear to you. Wow. Wow.
So, let's look at some examples of this.
Yes.
Of God, you know, showing up and showing off. To chapter 4. And we're going to kind of switch versions.
Oh, okay.
Switch over to the Passion Translation.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure
PPT.
I really... The Passion Translation, okay. I've heard you read out of that before, but I have not really read out of that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, and why do you like that translation so much?
Just brings passion to different scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay.
It's going to give us like a summary of what's going on, and then we're going to read a few verses out of here.
Okay.
This background is, you know, talking about Abraham. And he was, you know, the father of faith. And we know that God made Abraham righteous because he believed. He believed God's words. And God kind of put it in his account. He was like, because you believe, I'm going to transfer righteousness into your account. But we found that God called Abraham the father of faith. And we kind of talked about this before. That's kind of how he got your name, Mother of Nations.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's Abraham's situation. He was called a father of nations, but he hadn't had no kids.
Right.
He was childless. You know, he, at this point, he did have a son by, you know, his wife's handmaid, Hagar.
Right.
But that wasn't the promised child. So, let's look at verse 18. And find out what's going on Abraham.
Romans chapter 4, is that right? The Passion Translation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, verse 18. Okay. Wow, this is a good chapter. All of it's good. It's all highlighted.
Yeah. Right.
Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count.
Keep going.
In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God.
Okay.
So now, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll stop right there.
Okay.
So, God waited until Abraham was incapable. conceiving a child.
Wow.
He was 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah was 90.
Mm.
So, let's say their situation was dead.
Yes.
Like, there's no chance outside of a miracle.
Right.
Of anything happening. What do we do as people, you know, when we are in situations like that?
Wow.
Do we give up?
No.
Do we lose hope?
Mm.
Or do we continue hoping in a hopeless situation?
Mm. Oh, hallelujah. Mm, thank you, Jesus. Mm.
Oh, that's the question on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do when your situation looks dead?
Right.
Situation looks hopeless. We often say the phrase, you know, is there anything to offer God?
Mm-hmm. Right. We say that.
Do we believe it?
Mm. Mm.
God can do the impossible.
Yes. Amen.
There's nothing impossible with God. All things are possible through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Are these phrases?
Mm.
Are these the truth?
The truth. Yes. Amen. Mm.
So that's what we have to, you know, ask ourselves when we find ourselves in these different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, somebody was dying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you praying for them, but did you really believe that God was able and willing to keep them alive?
Mm. Uh-huh.
Did you declare, you know, you will live and not die?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Declare the works of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you say that?
I did. I died. Many of our friends listening know that I died on Thanksgiving Day, 2011. Like, literally died. Paramedics came, the EMTs came. I died and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then had to go to the hospital, had a hemoglobin of 2.9, had 13 blood transfusions. Basically, everybody was like, nope, sorry. You know, this is impossible. This will not go like we think it will go. And I began to talk to myself. I will live, and I will not die.
Mm-hmm.
I will declare the deeds of the Lord, and I will recount. I mean, I had no other choice. And I, here we are. You know, that was 2011.
Praise
here
God.
We are, yeah. But I was dead, and I was, you know, EMTs were apologizing to the family and all this, and I came back and said hello. And, you know, still had to go to the hospital and still had to, you know, live. And when doctors would say certain things, I would just lay there and say, you know, and that's why I believe you have to have scripture hidden in your heart. You have to
Praise
be
God.
Prayer life all along the way. You can't just wait till you get in a disaster. If you do, get your faith friends, get your intercessors, get people who can pray for you. That's why we have each other in community. But there are some
Amen.
Moments when you're just in it. You know, I'm laying there and they're, you know, even the nurses and all are just, you know, crying and things are not looking so great. And I had to start to encourage myself in the Lord. God had promised me some things. And one of the things that he promised me is that someday I would be a mother. And I wasn't
mm-hmm.
anybody's mother yet. Somebody needed to get into the earth to do the work of the kingdom, and they weren't here yet. And so I just kept saying, you know, Lord, I'll live and not die. I will declare the works of the Lord. I just began to just speak to myself. Job said, you'll decree a thing and it shall come to pass, and the light shall shine upon your ways. And I just decided to decree and declare it, and then things would not look good, and it did not look promising. And yet, you know, here we are all these years later. And it was the most interesting Thanksgiving dinner of my life. I don't want to do it again. I absolutely resonate with what you're saying, because there are times in this life when medical science is shrugging its shoulders. They're doing the best they can. We love doctors. We love nurses. We pray for them. But there are some points, even if they do all they can do, you still have to have God do what he does.
That's right. Because there's nothing too hard.
Nothing.
For God.
Nothing.
You know, I praise God for your testimony. It is, you know, so awesome. But it says something, you know, at the end, it glorifies God.
Yes.
Even at the end of the verse that you read,
mm-hmm.
it says God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises. Abraham glorified God.
Yes, always.
But I have a flip side, you know, to that, to this as well. I had a situation where there was a friend of mine, and we worked in insurance together.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, a good man who attended the same church that I did, and he had a great family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, you know, he died.
I'm sorry.
And in my spirit, the Lord told me, you know, to go and pray for him to be raised from the dead.
Mm.
And that's one of the only times I had
mm-hmm.
an inclination, you know, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got my Bible and I went, you know, to the hospital where he was. And, you know, his family was gathered around. And, you know, I got there. And when I saw him and saw, you know, the tubes coming out of his body and everything, you know, that was that went on, my spirit kind of shrank. And, you know, I didn't do what God told me to do
mm-hmm.
because of, you know, what I saw. So, you know, how many times do miss out on giving God his proper glory when we don't follow through and do what he tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't believe past the hopeless situation.
Wow. That is tremendous. I mean, that's a tremendously thought-provoking moment. And I thank you for sharing it, because I think that it helps a lot of people when we talk about the truth of our walk with God, all of it. Wow, this is incredible. We are absolutely learning so much, and it's so encouraging. We'll be right back after these messages.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Wes.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety. But with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal. Just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees. They pray all. They never look back. What's the world forget?
What a blessing we have today. Our guest is tremendous, and he is absolutely, absolutely filled with revelation and blessings for us today. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
Yes, this is Jacob King, and I am a business consultant, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a company called King Me Unlimited.
Wonderful. And how would we connect with you? How would folks, if they need consulting services or want to learn more about you, how would they do that?
You can call me directly or email. And my number is 614-769-8850. Mm-hmm. And my email is Jacob K37 at gmail.com.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you for what you're sharing with us today. I'm very excited about what else you're going to share.
Yeah. I have, one more example, because we're talking about, debt situations, stinky situations. And we're going to actually look at John 11, the story about Lazarus.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there a translation that you like?
We can stick with the passage.
Okay. This is wonderful. Okay. John 11. Here we go. Okay. Great.
Let's start at verse 1.
Okay.
And we'll kind of go through.
Okay. In the village of Bethany, there was a man named Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who would anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dry his feet with her long hair. One day, Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. So his sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, is very sick. Please come. When he heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death for Lazarus, but will bring praise, glory, will bring glory and praise to God. This will reveal the greatness of the Son of God by what takes place." Now, even though Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he remained where he was for two more days. Finally.
But
he loved them, though, right? It's a good thing he told us. Isn't it wonderful that they told us that he loved them? Now, even though Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he remained where he was for two more days. Finally, on the third day, he said to his disciples, "Come, it's time to go to Bethany." "But teacher," they said to him, "do you really want to go back there? It was just such a short time ago, the people of Judea were going to stone you." Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight in every day? You can go through a day without the fear of stumbling when you walk in the one who gives light to the world. But you will stumble when the light is not in you, for you'll be walking in the dark." Then Jesus added, "Lazarus, our friend, has just fallen asleep. It's time that I go and awaken him." When they heard this, the disciples replied, "Lord, if he has just fallen asleep, then he'll get better." Jesus was speaking about Lazarus' death, but the disciples presumed he was talking about natural sleep. Then Jesus made it plain to them, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, because now you have another opportunity to see who I am, so that you will learn to trust in me. Come, let's go and see him." So Thomas, nicknamed the twin, remarked to the other disciples, "Let's go, so that we can die with him." Now, when they arrived at Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many friends of Mary and Martha had come from the region to console them over the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "My Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise and live." She replied, "Yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day." "Martha," Jesus said, "you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection, and I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Then Martha replied, "Yes, Lord, I do. I've always believed that you are the anointed one, the Son of God, who has come into the world for us." Then she left and hurried off to her sister Mary and called her aside from all the mourners and whispered to her, "The Master is here and he's asking for you." So when Mary heard this, She quickly went off to find him, for Jesus was lingering outside the village at the same spot where Martha met him. Now, when Mary's friends who were comforting her noticed how quickly she ran out of the house, they followed her, assuming she was going to the tomb of her brother to mourn. When Mary finally found Jesus outside the village, she fell at his feet in tears and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet and all her friends who were with her grieving, he shuddered with emotion and was deeply moved with tenderness and compassion. He said to them, "Where did you bury him?" "Lord, come with us and we'll show you," they replied. Then tears streamed down Jesus' face. Seeing Jesus weep caused many of the mourners to say, "Look how much he loved Lazarus." Yet others said, "Isn't this the one who opens blind eyes? Why didn't he do something to keep Lazarus from dying?" Then Jesus, with intense emotions, came to the tomb, a cave with a stone placed over its entrance. Jesus told them, "Roll away the stone." Then Martha said, "But Lord, it's been 4 days since he died. By now his body is already decomposing." Jesus looked at her and said, "Didn't I tell you that if you will believe in me, you will see God unveil his power?" So they rolled away the heavy stone. Jesus gazed into heaven and said, "Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer, for you listen to every word I speak. Now, so that these who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as your messenger, I will use the power you have given me." Then, with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority, "Lazarus, come out of the tomb!" Then in front of everyone, Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier, slowly hobbled out. He still had grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet and covering his face. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him loose."
Okay. Thank you so much.
Praise God.
Hold on. Trying to unpack this a little bit further.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was a lot that was going on. But as you was reading it, you were kind of highlighting, you know, some of the information. But do you see why I like this translation?
Yes. Yes, the
it
energy.
Brings a little more passion.
Yes.
Behind the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they emphasize a few things, you know, in this setup. Lazarus is a friend of Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mary, Martha is his sisters.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's the brother. So, they have, you know, this relationship with Jesus and his ministry. Because they highlight that.
Yes.
He's visited with them. You know, probably stayed with them when they passed through Bethany at, you know, different points. So Lazarus gets sick. We don't know what Lazarus had, but it was, you know, a terminal illness.
Right. Right.
So what happens to us when we hear death? We hear cancer. We hear terminal tracks? Or does it get us to the point where we say there's nothing to our God?
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, we look a little bit later and we found out that it's a stinky situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, what are we going to do in our stinky situation?
Right.
Are we going to believe God's promise?
Yes, amen.
Are we going to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to lose hope? Are we going to faint?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the crux of the situation.
Yes.
Like, what are you going to do when, as they say, this stuff hits the fan?
Yeah, right.
What's going to come out of you when you get squeezed? You know, and the answer to that is based upon what you've been putting in.
Yes.
Like, what comes out of a sponge when it gets squeezed?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the sponge has been soaking up.
That's right.
So if we've been soaking up the Word of God, if we've been focusing on Jesus, putting our eye on Him, the things that we need is going to come out of us.
Uh-huh.
The things that we want to see is going to come out of us.
Uh-huh.
But if we've been putting other stuff in, when we're putting Netflix and Hulu and Stars and Yellowstone, you know, and there's nothing wrong with those things.
No.
But, you know, you have to have a solid foundation, you know, especially in today's world where, you know, people think that something is true because you say it three times. It's like, if you say eeny, meeny, miny, moe three times, you know, that becomes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we even have a saying today that this is my truth. You know, I don't know what your truth is, but there's only one truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way.
The way. Mm-hmm.
The definite article.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The truth and the life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't believe that, you don't have a foundation to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a wave of the sea that's tossed by whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a building. What's that other story about? The rock.
Yeah, the wise man built his house upon a rock, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You built your house upon
a sand. Mhm. Mhm.
You built your house on Play-Doh.
Yeah.
So you expect your house to stand on Play-Doh? Come on.
wind and waves, storms, right? The earth reels and rocks. Plato's fun. Plato's colorful. Plato's great to play with. But wow, here comes real life.
So, you know, Lazarus is in this situation, mm-hmm. and he's sick. So, Jesus loved Lazarus.
Yes, yes, yes.
He loved Martha and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't rush.
Wow. Wow.
He didn't say, let me get down some off on him.
Mm-hmm.
And heal him right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a situation like, all right, yeah, Jesus, he on his way. he's going to get here and, you know, he's going to fix it this way.
Mm.
It's going to be better like this time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen this way. Well, it didn't happen that way.
Right.
You know, sometimes it doesn't look or feel like what we think it should look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Mm-hmm.
And let's look at the reason
mm-hmm.
why that happened. Jesus said that this is going to bring glory to God.
That's right. That's right.
It happens so that God can show off.
Thank you, Jesus.
He wants us to know sometimes that you think you know what you're doing, but I'm the only one that can do this. I'm
yeah.
the only one that can produce when it's unproducible.
Uh-huh.
If that's the word. If
yes.
I just made it up.
Yeah, right. It's the perfect word.
Verse 14. It says, then Jesus made it plain to them.
Mm-hmm. Made it plain, yeah.
Lazarus is dead.
Wow.
And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there.
Mm.
Because now you have another opportunity to see who I am so that you will learn to trust
mm-hmm.
in me.
Mm-hmm.
You have another opportunity.
Yeah.
To see who I am
mm-hmm.
so that you will learn to trust in me. So, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust in him. And we have these opportunities to give him praise, to give him glory.
Hallelujah.
So that we can show others and point that light on him through our testimony.
Amen.
You know, in Revelation, it says that we overcame
mm-hmm.
him, meaning the wicked one, the devil.
Yeah.
By what?
The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony.
The blood
mm-hmm.
of the Lamb.
Oh, praise God.
And the work of our testimony.
Mm-hmm.
that is just so exciting.
Yes.
I mean, that is just, you know, so it brings me so much hope. It brings me so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my situation,
yeah.
It looked dead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My situation looked stinky.
Mm.
But, you know, I still got to believe past a dead and stinky situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have an opportunity.
Yes.
To trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I trust in Him, I know. Have a deep conviction that He is coming through.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Come through Jesus.
Thank
so,
you.
So, you know, Martha, she gave, you know, some good words. She was like, yeah, I know you're the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, it's going to happen in the sweet by and by.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And isn't that sometimes the pat on the shoulder that our friends and loved ones give us?
Yeah.
When we get into these stinky situations.
Mm-hmm.
They give us this little patty cake.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Sure he will. Yeah, sure he will.
Jesus confronts that.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus say?
Wow. Oh, boy. Jesus. Jesus, I'm wiping tears out of my eyes. I mean, Jesus says to her, Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. I mean, look at this. Yes, she replied, yes, I know, he will rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day. Now, that's what we put in the sympathy cards and stuff like that, right, and the get well cards and all that. But then Jesus says, Martha, Jesus said, you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection and I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Then Martha replied, yes, Lord, I do. I have always believed that you are the anointed one, the Son of God, who has come into the world for us. And what's amazing about this to me is Martha gets a miracle. Mary gets a miracle. Lazarus gets a miracle. All the friends and family get a miracle. But so do all of us. All these centuries later, who read this in our stinky situations and realize Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You better know it.
Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. Is this, do you see this as one of those moments where sometimes God shows off?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Mm. It's amazing. And here we are, witnesses. And all of us, all these years later, are witnesses to what God did for this family in Bethany. And the amazing thing about what you're saying to me is, God, there's no respect of persons with God. So we don't have to just nod our head and say, isn't it nice that he got them out of their stinky situations? And yes, amen, and what a delightful story. Oh, praise God, yes, how wonderful. But if we're in a stinky situation right now, what should we do?
Gotta believe.
Yeah.
Gotta trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Use our opportunity to believe God in stinky situations. Use our opportunity to give him the glory. Because that's what he wants.
Amen. I was hoping that maybe you would close us out with prayer today, because I really believe some of our friends who are listening have been encouraged. And you are such a blessing. Words cannot express how much I appreciate you in the midst of the ICU, in the midst of the hospital, in the midst of pneumonia, deciding to agree with God and be at peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, right, in Him and trusting in Him. Will you pray for our friends and for all of us who are listening to you today?
Yes. What would you like me to pray?
I would like you to pray for everyone in a stinky situation, that they trust God in it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
For your mercies, first of all. Thank you for your healing mercy, for your restoration mercy, for your mercies of peace, your mercies of joy, your favor, Lord, for whatever situation that we need. And we stand firmly on your word and make it the foundation, the root of our lives. So when we have the proper root, we'll grow the fruit that we desire. So if there's someone out there right now that is dealing with a stinky situation, something that looks impossible, we encourage their heart and we speak to them in the spirit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To receive the inner strength and might that they need in order to believe what they need to believe, to grab on to the scripture that is going to be the seed for their situation. We thank you, O Lord, that they will receive what they need, that they will give you the glory, that they will trust in you in the uncertain times. And we thank you, O Lord, for the testimonies that is coming out of all of these situations. And they're going to write in. They're going to call. They're going to give Don Karima their testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And they're going to give you the glory and honor. This is what we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Jacob King. And thank you, Jacob King, for bringing a good word from Jesus to all of us today. We are so grateful to you, so grateful for you. My dad's nephew. We love you around here, and we thank God for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I was a little leery at first and filling in for your person, but I do thank God for showing the devil's boss.
Thank God. We thank God for our guest. We thank God for this good word. We thank God for God. We do. And we thank God for all of you who listen, who make this podcast possible for all of us. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we all get to be together and visit next time. See you then.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.